Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this September 3rd, 2025. I have your host, James, behind the mic, and we're joined by the Wood County Sheriff's Department. First off, we have Sheriff Sean Becker with us. Sean, always good to see you.
Great to see you. Always appreciate the opportunity every month.
And you brought in Deputy Sheriff Sarah McCormick. Sarah, good to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Appreciate your time and your service. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you.
Of course, we want to say hello to our great friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, the team over there doing some incredible work. Do yourself a favor, go to YouTube if you haven't done this already, signed up to their page, subscribe to it, keep up to date, and all the cool things that they are doing over there. Big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I know we got plenty to talk about, Sean, but I wanted to start off the show on a positive story, a fun story, I thought, and I came across a police officer in Pittsburgh named Stephen Harris is in the news after he used his own money to help out a stranger. A hearing-impaired man who didn't speak English was stuck at a Greyhound station trying to get to Montreal. And he didn't have enough money to get there. Stephen took out his bank card and paid $113 to buy him a ticket. He told the reporter he did it because, quote, we're supposed to be good men helping other good men. That's it. No other reason. Just wanted to help out somebody. This is one tiny story in millions of great, good stories done by our officers and our service workers out there that I encourage people to look for and find. Because there's so many good stories out there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome to hear. And I would put money on it that Sarah's done that. I know that I've done it. And there's been a great program that's been out the last few years that there's some fundraising that's done where many of the law enforcement officers within the state, they get a bunch of gift cards. And it usually happens around the fall. And with that fundraising, we get hundreds of dollars just in $5 or $10, $25 gift cards within the local community. Whether it's Quick Trips, Culver's, McDonald's, and then we get the opportunity, especially during the fall into the winter months, to just give those out. I know recently I gave some out to a student that was going through some tough times, and here's some gift cards just for a meal or two, or stopping at a Quick Trip to fill your tank of gas. Just a great partnership that's out there. And I know that Sarah's done that. That's just something that it's not expected. Mm-hmm. But with the protect and serve aspect of it, and the opportunities there, you'll notice that that story's been out there for quite some time. What's really nice about it is you found that on the national media, mm-hmm. and they were willing to share it. This is way out in Pittsburgh, and so it's a great way to start the show. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's just shows some of the humility that we have as law enforcement officers, and you always say it. We're people too. Yeah, we have our own lives as well, but with the protect and serve aspect of what we do in this profession, that's part of it. And what a feel good story.
I appreciate you also adding the notes locally for us and things that you and others like Sarah and others have done and everything. And I know for a fact you guys have done this. I still owe Sean $20. I'm gonna get it to you. I'm good for it.
Nope. Don't want it.
We appreciate you being here, and especially you being here, Sarah. Sean, you brought Sarah in for a reason here.
Absolutely. Sarah is going to be retiring next month on October 3rd. Now I'll be the oldest deputy at the Sheriff's Department, so thanks for that.
You still are the oldest deputy at the Sheriff's Department.
I was wondering if you'd catch that.
I would.
But you've been here longer than me.
I have. Been here longer than you. Probably good. Less than a year, though, I believe.
Yeah. She started her career. We have that part-time program that was called a reserve deputy program, where it gave so many people, including Sarah, that opportunity to, hey, is law enforcement for me? And look where we are now. That's where she started, and now that's where she's ending her professional career as a law enforcement officer. So it's pretty humbling. It goes by fast, but I thought this was a great opportunity for people to hear about her. She's had an awesome career with us, and I think that's something more that she should talk about. Now I'll kind of interject once in a while.
Yeah.
I do have some fond memories, but, some of those we can't say on air.
I definitely want to hear those. Off air, the mics will be off. Sarah, what made you want to get into this profession?
I think I've always been, law enforcement, pro-law enforcement, been the stand-up person. If somebody is getting harassed, I'm the one who interjects. My daughter does the same thing as I do. I think it was just a natural thing, and when I got into it in the school, it came naturally to me, and then I applied a lot of different places, and the Sheriff's Department, I was with the Sheriff's Department from like 93 to 96 as a part-time. Hmm. I did have somebody I already knew in the Sheriff's Department, and so he was very encouraging. Hmm. And then I went to the jail in 1996. I went full-time with them, and it didn't take me too long to become a field trainer with the corrections and then a lead. Hmm. So kind of like a sergeant, but they weren't sergeants at the time. Hmm. And then September 7th, I got the call of 2001. So 4 days later, the towers go down, freaked out my parents, and then I've been with the law enforcement community as a patrolman. I've done investigations. Now I'm back down to security services, so I work in the courthouse right now. Hmm. And that's where I'm going to end my career.
Right on. And thank you for that. Thank you for that rundown as well. Oddly, I started in radio like 3 days after September 11th.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so I've been in it since, you know, I hear you. It was a weird time.
Kind of, weird, yeah. Very, a lot of things changed. Mm-hmm. For you, for us. Mm-hmm. I know that I was the first person that had to wear the flag on our shirt, so that was a little different.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the jail really good. It gave me an opportunity to refine who I was before I became an officer. So I thought I was a better officer once I came out. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good way to start.
Thank you for that. And you just teed me up perfectly. Well done. Because, Sean, you brought in a number of individuals that leading into retirement. And I noticed something with this, and I don't know that I or many out there understand this about being a police officer and that. And the idea of, you know, there is so many layers to this job. There's so many different things you can be doing in the job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Sarah just kind of gave us a rundown a bit of different things she has done. And everybody that you've brought in has a very similar background. It reminds me of a lot of what I tell a lot of my acting students and teach, you know, you want to be a great actor, work behind the scenes. Know what it's like to do props, know what it's like to do these other jobs and everything, and it'll make you that much better on the screen, on the stage, or the screen, I suppose. It seems like that with law enforcement. Like, the more jobs that you can get your hands on and learn a little bit about, the better it will make you, and also help you find where you really, I don't want to say where you belong, but where you can really excel. Is that what you found, sir?
I think so. My experiences are... I've done a lot of different things, and it's helped me. Every job has made me better in the next job, mm-hmm. and the next job, and the next job. And it's also, for me, it's about appreciating all the other people that are doing the same jobs. Because now that I understand what corrections, I know what corrections are going through. Mm-hmm. I work closely with our front office staff. By the way, I'm supposed to give a shout out to them. So shout out Jenna, Mitzi, and Peyton. And Jenna will laugh when she sees that.
How much they paying you?
She actually told me not to do it, but I'm like, I'm doing it. So in watching them and in working with them to make myself better, everything is a layer. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I'm not done with my layers as law enforcement, but I'm to the point where I need to move on and create a room for another young officer coming up. And they can have the opportunity that I was given way back in the day.
I think that's a beautiful way to put it. You know, the idea, usually we're talking about retirement, we're talking about you and what's next, you know, you kind of wrapping things up. You're, for one, mentioning that you don't want to be completely done with this, which is very, very law enforcement. I don't know if anybody truly retires from this job or anything, especially in talking with you, Sean, over the years and many of the quote-unquote retired detectives we've talked to and everything that are still hard on cases and everything that we always try to note. But also the idea Sarah, of letting somebody else up, moving out of the way so somebody else can move into that position. I really admire that. I think that's really cool to see that. Sometimes we're so close to things, we don't see that kind of stuff. Or really one of the more important things, I think, in any job, for me, I get to be program director of this station, and I'm humbled by it every day. But I'm not doing my job if I'm not preparing other people to take over for me one day, or if I can't be here to do the job. That's not what we're all here for. Whatever industry we're in, as much as it is about doing our individual jobs, it's about making sure somebody is there to take over for us, or the next generation is there, some of those things. I really admire that. I think that's insightful.
Yeah, and for me, I'm also an instructor at Mid-State Technical College for the Law Enforcement Academy. So the offices are in college learning how to do this job, and that's in a very intensive program to make them really good officers. So I'm proud that I get to be part of them and helping them train, and I get to instill what I've seen and what I've done. So when they see and do this similar things, they will have some, not true experience, but they'll have, they're like, oh yeah, Sarah said this, this is what happened there. Because I've definitely gotten into weird stuff.
I got to ask hard questions from time to time and everything, and I can't imagine in the long and good career you've had picking one or two things, but if you could pick one or two things, what are some highlights to you about your career that you're very proud of, that you really enjoyed being a part of? And again, I know it's a tough question, I'm sorry, but I got to ask.
I guess right off the bat for me, I know that I was like the first female hired since 1989. We weren't real popular then. You know, there was a small percentage of us. Now the Sheriff's Department has 6. I mean, we're really strong in that field. And we bring our own way of doing things for law enforcement. We work very well with our counterparts. These guys are like brothers and sisters that I sometimes never really wanted, but I got them anyways. So just being that job in the first place, I never really thought I was going to be it. And then all of a sudden, bam, I'm in it. Then I became the first female investigator. And I did that for 8.5 years. All the while, I was part of a program called Project Lifesaver of Wood County. And we've grown that. I would venture to say that we're probably the longest or the biggest program of Project Lifesaver, which is a rescue program for people with cognitive disabilities. So if they get lost, we can find them fast. And I'm a national instructor for them. So I've gone to 7 different states. Sean is really proactive in me going. I get to do this a lot. I'm hoping to stay with the Sheriff's Department to help them with that program.
We don't have a choice.
Yes. No, I don't have a choice. Alicia won't let me. So there's a lot of different things. You know, I've been really proactive in like my active shooter presentations, which I've given throughout the community so they can understand what they civilians could do before law enforcement gets there. Everybody I talk to, this is like, this is your choices. You know, you have to help yourself before we can help you. There's still just a lot of things. We got the bridge named. So that was a pretty big thing too. So yeah,
talk about that more.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that I've done. I've probably forgotten more than I remember.
You mentioned the talk more about the bridge. You want to piggyback on that?
Well, you know, it's better for Sarah to really talk about it because that's where the passion came, you know, and not forgetting, you know, and, you know, you and the department went through a lot to get, you know, that bridge named for somebody that truly needs to be honored. And why don't you kind of explain that process? Yeah.
So many, many, many years ago, I have received a call from a gentleman that found a badge in a car, in a wrecked car, probably 1980, about 90, spring of 90, he said. And he found it. The rumor was that this car was involved in an accident that killed a female deputy of Wood County, which is true. So he found this, and he kept the badge, all with the understanding he would return it. Life got in the way. Eventually, he finds the badge again, and he calls up. For some reason, through the phone tree, he ends up in my. And I knew about her because the jail staff loved her. Mm-hmm. So when I started there, they said, Sarah, LaVon would have loved you. You would have gone along great. You're the same kind of personality. So I always knew about her. And I had found her picture downstairs. We had done a remodel and not all of our awards and plaques and everything got put back up. And I found her picture and I'm like, you know what? You're going to hang out in my office. Well, then this badge comes back. So I approached the sheriff's department. I said, we have this. We should do something nice. So we did have a plaque at the time. And then I begin to think, I'm like, you know, she was killed in our uniform going to meet her trainer that night. And so when the badge came back, I had reached out to her family. And I talked to her husband at the time. Explained what I wanted to do. He was all for it. The only thing he wanted was something on her headstone to verify that she was law enforcement. So that kind of kicked off conversations. And it got delayed a little bit because I didn't know how to do anything. Mm-hmm. And then I had some time off. And I had to sit around. I wasn't allowed to do anything, but I had to sit around. I'm like, well, now's the time to start doing some research. So I started calling senators and assemblymen, and one of them got back to us. And I didn't realize that that had to become law, that Sean and I would have to go down to the state and testify in front of these committees. And saying I knew that the governor said, yep, we're signing it. And not only are we signing it, we're coming to the to Wood County Courthouse, and we're signing it there. So,
Impactful moment.
It was. I like to be behind the scenes, so I kind of just trying to shove everybody in front of the scenes.
I'm noticing this. Yes.
Yeah, I don't like to be front and center, I'll tell you.
But we're happy to have you at front and center, in part because I guarantee that there's some stuff you've already touched on in this interview that the audience either is being reminded of or wasn't aware of. In particular, I think, and this is a credit to the staff, this is a credit to our community as well, but being the first female anything is gigantic and important. Mm-hmm. Representation is one of the bigger factors going forward, no matter what the industry we're talking about. But it's also incredibly smart, but it's something that this community has done quite a bit. When we first moved here, my mom was blown away that, oh, they have a female mayor, and things like that. I think Wisconsin Rapids in general has been pretty good about this overall. Always room for improvement, always work to be done. But you also have to appreciate what has been done and the trailblazers around like yourself that are doing that. I also admire the idea of what Sheriff Becker and even our local police departments here in Rapids and other ones around the area here are, where we've known this for a while. Since I was a kid, law enforcement numbers and people going to be in law enforcement, those numbers have gone down a bit. We're not getting some of the candidates we could get. So what do? You don't just throw your hands up in the air, you adapt. And our departments have adapted. And part of that is bringing in women, bringing in people with a different angle on things that can do this. We don't want robots doing these jobs. We need human beings, and every human being is going to bring a different angle to things, a different set of eyes to things. Having women a part of this is integral to law enforcement, to me. It makes perfect sense. It's cool to see where we are with this, and it really is a big part of what you have done there with that. I'm not going to skate past that. That's amazing. And you noted six other officers now, right? Is that correct? It's amazing. That's fantastic. And it makes for not only a better, safer community, but also more opportunities for people in jobs in different industries and everything. Like, just hearing about, if you weren't in this job, if we didn't have you, Sarah, I don't know if some of the things you've mentioned, we have them. Just that alone, just your story alone is impactful, let alone if we talk about every other woman that is going to come after you or something like that. It's groundbreaking. It's great work.
Yeah, I had a couple women before me that were already on the department, so I felt like I wouldn't have to be the first person to break into it. Mm-hmm. But I was on nights. Sean and I worked many nights together. He was my sergeant. He was actually one of my field trainers. Mm-hmm. It was a really long 3 weeks for him.
No, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
I learned just as much from you. So.
It was women in law enforcement do the job differently, but we do the same job. Mm-hmm. It's just how we get to the end result might be just slightly different.
And, you know, lack of a better word, clients that you're working with are going to be men and women and people of different thoughts and race. So, again, to be able to talk to them, adapt to them, work with the situation at hand, need more people from different walks of life, and women are an integral part of that. That's really encouraging to hear. That's very cool to hear. And I imagine, Sean, when I ask you what you're proud of when it comes to Sarah and everything, you could mention a lot of the things we've already mentioned. You get to go last, though, so you have to pick something that we haven't already talked about. But I imagine that's a long list.
It is. There's so many highlights that come to mind. Like she had mentioned, the field training aspect of it, and I was a new trainer at the department, and I was excited to see her come out of the jail because I didn't have that background. All right, so like I just said, you know, I learned a lot of things too as well, and I think that that's a very valuable background at a sheriff's department to have that experience working in a jail. Just how, you know, you deal with people that are incarcerated, and you'll eventually, as we always talk, see them later on the street. And, you know, I'm sure, again, Sarah's probably had this moment before, like, hey, thanks for the way you treated me in the jail. You treated me like a human being at one of my worst moments in my life. And, you know, I know that she's had those experiences throughout her career. So, you know, that jumps out to me, you know, going back to Levon, you know, for a while we were held back, and then, you know, as things changed at the department, and just look at, you know, what that took. And she highlighted, it wasn't like we wanted to name part of Highway 10 after Levon, and that took like going up a mountain to get through that process isn't anything that goes very fast. That's just the process. But the passion was there to see that through, for not for Sarah, not for me, not for the sheriff's department, but for the family. And then Sarah connecting with all of her family. And then when we had the dedication and seeing them there. And that was really, really rewarding to see that happen. And she was buying that. Yeah, I mean, the support from the department obviously was there, but the work that was done to recognize somebody that truly sacrificed herself for this profession. You know, it wasn't a situation that was her fault. It was a terrible tragedy that, you know, our department had to go through. But to see her recognized, and that was all Sarah doing that. And, you know, a shout out to Representative Spiros out of the Marshfield area. He's the one that grabbed it and probably educated us a little bit the whole process.
He was essential.
You know, but he jumped on board, and it's just, and then to get the governor to come here to sign that into law and that dedication, it's a really proud moment that I have every time I get the opportunity to drive up to Marshfield and see the bridge. So, and that's a reminder of you and the passion that you had for something. And then she talked about Project Lifesaver a little bit, but that's another biggie. You know, make no mistake, you know, I think, of course, I'm a little biased here, but I think the Wood County Sheriff's Department and what we've done with that program is the best in the state. And I would even say even further, and that isn't about me or departments, about people at our department that step up and make that program, you know, happen. And then you get the people to come along, not just the sheriff's department, but human services. And then you see Civil Air Patrol, you see so many other people getting involved and watching what we do, and then they want to copy what we do. And that's pretty cool. You know, and getting the opportunity for you know, Sarah to go around this, you know, the country and show how good we are, and then sharing that knowledge, you know, that speaks volumes. And you know, and this, and the reason why the program started was, unfortunately, because of tragedy. You know, Benji Heil, you know, wandered away from, you know, his residence, and then, you know, it took I don't know how many days, and we unfortunately found him. And that impact, not only his family, but the community, was huge. And then starting to look at the research, okay, how can we prevent this? You know, with people that you know, either are autistic or have a special need that, you know, needs more attention, how can we do this to prevent something like this happening again? And that's where Project Lifesaver evolved. And then it took off because of, you know, Sarah's passion for a program that I believe has saved many lives in Wood County. That program now has been, believed in, and I wouldn't say if absorbed is the right word, but all of our fire departments, you know, law enforcement, you know, we all work together. And if there is a situation that we have, it could be, like I said, an autistic child wanders, we got him GPS'd, we're all going together. Doesn't matter what fire department, rescue, law enforcement, we're all going to that area. And I don't know how many kids we found. But
we've been fortunate, we don't have to use it a lot. But we've had to use it enough. There one comes in particular. She got away, crossed four lanes of a major intersection, and was heading to a swamp area. Luckily, we tell the family it's very fast acting. If that child's not watching the TV or in the bedroom, that's it. And then you call 911. We don't wait the hour to see if they're coming back. They're not going to. So the essential part, especially when I sit down and I talk to the family, I tell them it has to be a 911 call immediately. Don't wait. That's one of the biggest problems that our community does, is they, when a person goes missing, they wait too long. And that doesn't give us the opportunity to recover that person faster. My families that I work with, they know, like, literally, don't leave the area. It's 15 seconds, and then you'd be dialing. And it's okay if you dial, then the person comes out of their hiding space, because they're thinking they're playing hide and seek, and they're not, and is found. Just call us back. We're okay with that. But you have to get us there faster so we can use our equipment to find that person immediately. So we have, since then, we have not lost autistic people or Alzheimer's or dementia, or we cover anywhere from little 2.5-year-old autistic children to 80 and 90-year-olds with dementia. So far, We're right around like that 70 to 72 clients, which is almost 1% of our population.
Yeah.
But if you call Project Lifesaver International and ask them who deals with airplanes, they're the Wood County, Wisconsin is the first people they recommend talking to.
Wow.
So we have built this program because it is so important because we had that tragedy.
And this program, yeah, I'm glad we came back to Deshaun. I really wanted to. And I know you have some other things we'll get to. I just had a couple more things for Sarah because we talk about this and talk about some other things that have kind of gotten started in this run of yours and even Sean and talking about him as sheriff and everything. And so many of these are new programs. So many of these things are covering gray areas that our society has had for a long time that we haven't really been able to get to, and now that we are. So for you, as somebody who's also training the next generation, helping train the next generation, are you seeing some, like, that they are aware of this stuff, they're going to be that much more able to cover these kind of topics, these kind of things? And I know it's a wide range of stuff I'm talking about here, but for them, they've been a part of this already. Mental health, looking out for some of these other things, it's part of why they're in the field. They want to be officers. Are you seeing some, for lack of a better word, hope in this regard, like with the younger generation and the next generation of officers?
Yes. There's a lot of new officers that have already been exposed because of their association with other departments that have this particular program or something similar to it. Project Lifesaver isn't one and done. There's other programs out there that are probably just as good, but this is what we've adopted here because it works well here, given our environment and our population and all those factors. The new departments that are coming on board, they're excited because some of them have had tragedies and they want to prevent it. Some of them want to prevent it before they have them. And so a lot of, like I said, I've been in 7 different states and I've gone all over, fortunately for me. And so, and they really want to prevent losing anybody. We're always pro safety, like wear your seatbelt, don't drink and drive, you know, don't speed, all of those things. This is one of those programs that we can actually implement as a proactive instead of a reactive type of thing, where we can identify the person. We know the person. Our law enforcement officers go every other month to change the batteries with the family, with the person. So we know who they are. So they're not just hidden in a closet like they used to be. Maybe it's in the 50s and the 60s where mental health wasn't a big deal. Now we bring it out and we're like, this is what my child has. How do we help that person? And we are prepared to help that person.
You bring up something that I don't think we think about nearly enough with this industry. And there's very few industries where the job like is going on constantly, I understand. But the job starts usually after an incident has already happened.
You know, sometimes, yes.
You're showing up to something after something bad has happened or something like that to be able to get ahead of something. That's, one, really insightful and very smart, of course. But I also imagine that's something that's a rewarding, for lack of a better word, for you all to be able to be a part of, prevent things from happening as opposed to being there when it's already happened.
Our whole job is about trying to prevent the bad things that happen in the world. This is one of those things that we can jump on. Mm-hmm. And we've jumped on it pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, appreciate you. Thank you so much. This has been
thank
so
you.
Cool. It's been really good to get to know you and everything. And thank you so much for sharing so much of this with of yourself with us and everything. Appreciate
thank
you. And certainly appreciate your service very, very much.
That.
And how you put up with Sean. I mean, that alone... Do you have a badge for that? Do you have a special
almost 30
mark?
Years.
Because if there is one, I mean, I've been doing this for 9 years with him. I know you had some other stuff you wanted to touch on.
A couple things. One serious, very serious note. September is suicide, awareness month, and for people that are struggling out there, remember there's hope. Please seek out help. I know we've talked about it numerous times. I think the stigma has changed a lot, and it's okay to ask for help. It's more than okay. The resources are out there. You can reach out to us. We will help you and get you in that right direction. The entire month is focused on, suicide prevention and awareness, but that should be every day. People struggle every day in their life. And as a person, if you know somebody that might be struggling, the first step is as a person, ask. Just asking might save somebody's life. So
yeah.
I wanted to at least mention that. We'll have our 15th CIT class coming up, which is awesome. You know, I know we've talked about that quite a bit on how it evolved and where we're at. And I know we'll see 20 years of it, you know. So it's just a rewarding aspect of our career, that the path we've taken on the focus on law enforcement and mental health, not with just the community that we serve, which obviously is extremely important, but our own mental health as well. And I know that you know, going through 30 years, we've had our things that we've responded to that affect us. And, you know, bringing up, you know, I talked to Jay Schroeder a couple days ago, and he's struggling through a recent suicide in his family, and then just reminiscing about our career and things that he remembers. And one of the things that we responded to was just a tragedy of a juvenile that took his own life. And he never forgot that, and he's not in law enforcement anymore, but it's just a harsh reality and a reminder about, you know, what we can do to be better to help save people's lives. So, yeah, we could end on that. Yeah.
Did want to mention one other thing with you. I wanted to talk about the River Riders Bike Share, the fall community bike ride here. You all set for this?
Probably not.
No,
I'll have oxygen, plenty of water around. That's something that we've been doing the last few years that, you know, I got to give Hannah at the UW a lot of credit. It's her idea. And next Wednesday out at Lake Wasatch, it'll be a little cooler, but hey, I'll dress for the weather, and please come out and join us and just hang out. We'll go around and get a free t-shirt if you come with, and love to see as many people out there as possible.
It's a great opportunity not only to be a part of this and get out, get some exercise, get some more Mother Nature in before those colder months get here and everything, but certainly another opportunity to bring the kids and bring family there. You know, the more that kids are around our officers, the more that they are likely to look at them as a positive and something to go to if need be and stuff. And along with maybe getting a spark in them and wanting to be the next Sarah or something like that. So you never know. Sarah, thank you again for the time. Really do appreciate that, and certainly appreciate your service. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
And Sean, always good to see you. Thanks a lot for hanging out.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
We will talk with you next month.
Sounds like a plan.
Big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media doing some amazing work over there. Be sure to go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, and keep up to date on the great things that they are doing. And remember, you can catch other Rapids Report episodes and plenty more at WFHR.com. Get on over there, everybody, for more of the Rapids Report.